Let's all stand as we read the scripture tonight in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. And we'll read responsively Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessor of lands and houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and the distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the success, Lord, that you've given us this past week and the souls that were saved. Lord, that's what it's all about, seeing souls saved. And Lord Jesus, tonight we pray for our preacher. We pray you be with him, Lord. I know his mind is pulled in many directions tonight. But help him, Lord. Strengthen him. Give him your grace tonight. Be with his daughter, Lord, as she is in that emergency room. Lord, put your nail-scarred hand upon her. Heal her and touch her life, Lord. Be with his dad as well. We pray for him tonight. And as for his healing as well, Lord, we pray that you also would be with Brother Rick Franz tonight, Lord, and just touch his life. And Lord, we're trusting you, and we know you take care of us in all our needs. And Heavenly Father, we lift our preacher. Fill him with your Holy Spirit tonight. Help him as he preaches. Comfort him. Be to him his strength tonight. And we know, Lord, that you will. And we ask these things in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You may be seated. Read one other familiar passage here, one other familiar verse, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another. I'm going to read 31 as well. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's actually our text verse, and we're going to come back to that, refer to that here later on. But the portion of scripture we read a while ago, of course, is dealing with a spiritual behavior, the kind of Christianity, if you will, that was portrayed in the Church of Jerusalem. It was a right kind of Christianity. It's a kind of Christianity. It's a kind of spiritual level that I think every independent Bible-believing church ought to be. Of course, they were believers. Verse 32 of Acts chapter 4 says that. They were believers. They were of one heart and one soul. I don't think there was a whole lot of division here. I don't think there was any gangs or any cliques, if you will. They were of one mind. Bible says I think the Bible teaches here, they kind of had an attitude of what's mine is yours and what's yours is mine, and they had all things in common. There was no one any better than anybody else in this church. They had a love for one another, and how we need a revival of just old-fashioned love for one another again. And just caring for one another and being tender-hearted towards one another, as we'll refer to in a few minutes. Those that embodied this church of Jerusalem encouraged one another. And you know, we ought to be in the ministry of encouragement. We ought to be in the ministry of when we see a brother and sister down or discouraged. You know, we ought to, you know, instead of just kind of walk by their path and not say a word, be good to go ahead and give them a handshake or a hug or a word of prayer or so forth, encouraging words. They were grounded in the word. They listened to the preaching of the apostles. They were kind of the church that helped one another. I think it was the kind of church also. I'm kind of moving right along here. I think this is teaching also that if one member was down, they were right there by their side. They cared for one another. Others would chip in to help with the children when a mama perhaps was sick. And by the way, this is kind of Christianity that I grew up with. You know, I grew up in church. I thank God that for my spiritual heritage, I thank God that I grew up in a Christian home, grew up on a dairy farm, but church was not something that was an option. Well, do we go today or not? No, we went. Every single Sunday, you could count on my dad making sure the chores were done, and we went to church as a family Sunday morning, Sunday night especially, I'll say that. That's the kind of Christianity I remember. I remember the preacher, some of the preachers I grew up with, when there was a little bit of pain, when there was a little bit of heartache in the body of the church that he pastors, he was right there by their side. I remember even as a young man, a young teenager, when I was going through some rebellious years, let me just say this, it spoke volumes to this young man and to this preacher today. That preacher that I'm thinking of right now came by my way, said, "Let's go get an ice cream," and I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. That probably took me a whole lot, built my spirituality, if you will, and it spoke volumes to me. That's what Christianity is all about. And that's what every Christian ought to do. Again, when you see one down, when you see one discouraged, we ought to be there for them. We ought to lift them up. Others would chip in and help with children when a mom was sick. And, I remember, I'm kind of being a little personal here, but I remember when my wife had her surgery with cancer and so forth, and the ladies of the church, you know, she didn't cook a meal for a year, unless if she wanted to. Our children was always well cared for at another home, a few different homes, if I needed to take my wife to chemo and different things like that. I'm just talking about that's old-fashioned Christianity. I'm giving a little bit of my experience, but that's what I remember, and that's what I long, if you will, for our church to be. We ought to be the kind of church that's reaching out to people, and not just reaching out to the lost. That's very, very important. That's our commission. But you know what? We also need to reach out to one another. We need to reach out to those who are hurting, and we need to reach out in every single way that we possibly can. The rich and poor were attendees, always on level ground. We weren't, this type of church was not someone, there was no financial status. There was no little clipboard and say, "Well, how much do you make a year?" You know, everybody could attend this church, and everybody can attend this church. I know we have all walks of life come through the doors of Faith Baptist Church, and I like that. And the rich and poor were attendees. Friendships was not determined on how much one has or did not have. They were all treated the same. There was a genuine love for one another and love for God. They didn't backbite each other. If there was a problem, they took it to each other. By the way, that's what the Bible teaches. Instead of going ahead and getting in our little gang and backbiting a certain Christian or so forth because of whatever, the truth of the matter is, whatever happened to just going to that person saying, "Hey, listen, what's up? Let's fix this thing and just take care of it and let's be good Christians." That's spiritual Christianity. That's what the Bible teaches. Families were built and taught to love one another. You know, as I study the book of Acts, you know, that's the kind of church that the church at Jerusalem was. They weren't cliquey. They weren't gangy. They weren't ganging up on anybody. They were reaching for souls. The Bible teaches they persevered in prayer. They loved one another. And you'll see a spirit of kindness toward one another. I want to say by way of introduction, that's the kind of church we ought to be, an old-fashioned, Bible-believing, independent Baptist church that simply loves people. We're no better than anybody else in Carver or in Plymouth or anybody else. We're just going to preach the Word of God as it's to be preached. We're going to carry the old sword, the King James Bible. We're going to go after the lost, but we're also, as we do that, we are going to love one another. Our church body, the body that meets on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night and a Wednesday night, we ought not be divisive towards one another. We ought to be reaching out to one another. And if there's a problem, go to them. Amen. You know, and you don't have to go ahead and do it right in the church and fight like this. Say, "Let's go get a cup of coffee. Let's go stand out in the parking lot a little while. Come sit in my car a little while. Go to an office or a room somewhere. Hash it out and get along." Amen. That's what needs to happen. But that's the kind of church we ought to be. We ought to strive. I'm going to strive to lead that church, this kind of church, that kind of church, if you will, here at Faith Baptist Church. We ought to be the kind of church. We ought not be the kind of church that's stuck on ourselves. Look at me. We're somebody. We should be the kind of church that loves and exalts Christ and exalts His Word. The membership of this church ought to be such that we do not determine whose hand we shake or who we sit by. It doesn't matter how much you make. You can still shake a hand. It doesn't matter how little you make. Doesn't matter what kind of car we drive. Doesn't matter what kind of home we live in. Doesn't matter what kind of job we have. Doesn't matter what size bank account we possess or the toys that we have in our backyard. We just need to love one another. It's amazing, some people, they'll just not, well, you know what, they're a little bit lesser class than us, and I don't think I can go near them, I don't think I can shake their hand. No, you shake their hand, you befriend them people. That's the kind of Christianity that we ought to portray. By the end of the day, all that will matter, but by the end of the day, all that will not matter. All the things that you possess, if you will, all the riches that you have will not matter. But the relationships that we build, the testimony we have in Christ, how we conduct ourselves, how the world portrays us by the view of our testimony, and all the lives that we touch will matter. At the end of the day, that's what matters. It's not going to matter. You're not going to take your bank account with you. You're not going to be take that brand new car with you. You're not going to be take that nice home. And again, I'm not against riches. I'm not against all that. God created prosperity, and there's nothing wrong with it. But bless God, listen, if that's what determines your Christianity, if that's what determines who you hang with, if that's what determines what kind of ministry you're going to belong to, hey, that's the kind of the wrong Christianity. Hey, we need to be about the business of loving one another. A great preacher with whom I often, whom I admire, actually Dr. Jack Hiles, my hero, he said, there's never a time to be unkind. There's never a time to go ahead and use its tongue and devour somebody. We ought to be in love with one another, if you will. Our text in Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, the word kindness means having a sympathetic nature or showing or having a gentle, considerate nature. You know, in other words, that means love one another. That's what it is. You know, a kind, I say, being having a sympathetic nature, or showing, okay, or having a gentle, considerate nature. In other words, love one another. Kindness and tender-hearted go hand in hand. Tender-hearted tells of one being well-compassioned of one another, or sympathetic for another. Again, love. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, I'm going to read the verse previous to that. In verse number 31, the Bible says here, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. You know, I kind of wonder if that was put there because it's bitterness and wrath and all of that and clamor and evil speaking. That's what causes division. You know, because we're not willing to forgive. And then God goes ahead and says, right after that, okay, he says, put all that away from you. Then he says, and be ye kind one to another. You know what? I happen to think, of course, God being a whole lot smarter than me and any of us here, you know what? He might have gone ahead and put that verse here because bitterness is what's divisive. You know what? If you harbor bitterness in your heart, you're not going to get along with anybody. You know, and the Bible says, go ahead and put it away. If you're going to evil speak about somebody, you're going to, and so forth, God says, go ahead and put it away. You know what? You're not going to speak kindly of somebody. You're not going to have kind words for somebody if you're speaking evil about them. I kind of wonder if that verse there is before Ephesians 4:32, simply because, you know what? What it takes is you got to put that away and then be ye, talking about us, kind one to another. Okay, that means everybody, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Hey, we need to have a forgiving spirit. Let all bitterness is a direct result of an unforgiving spirit. You know, when you are bitter somebody towards someone, you know what? That's not a forgiving spirit. That's not the spirit of forgiveness when you have bitterness towards them. You know what? Sometimes we just got to get over it, man. You know, there are some things that we'll just go ahead and we'll go to our grave, and you know what? It won't even matter 5 minutes after the rapture. You know, some of these things that I've seen Christians fight over, some of these things that I've seen families fight over, some of these things that I've seen close friends at one time fight over, it won't even matter 5 minutes after the rapture. And you go ahead and ask them about something that happened 10 years ago. You ask them, what happened? They can't even remember it anyways. And yet they'll go to their grave not talking or not speaking to somebody simply because they could not forgive. Hey, you know what? Jesus, our example, he forgave, and I thank God that he did. You know, kindness and tender-hearted. As a Christian, we ought to strive on having and bestowing a spirit of kindness to those around us. That's real Christianity. Our testimony is a very powerful attribute in the Christian life. Because of that, people ought to see a spirit of kindness flowing through us. Boy, you ought to have a kind spirit towards one another. You go on to the job site. You want one of the shortest ways that you can go ahead and win your co-worker to Christ. You have a good attitude. You have a good spirit. You have a kind spirit. You go ahead and you speak kindly. Go in there with a little spring in your step. You know, you got Christ in your heart. You know what? He's all you need to have that spring in your step. I know maybe the whole world's falling down around you. I know there's maybe trials falling around you. But the truth of the matter is, you don't have to let the battles in your life go ahead and cause you to have a bad spirit and have a grumpy spirit. Hey, you know what? Jesus, he forgave. Jesus, he loved. Hey, you know what? None of us went through what Jesus went through. There's not a one of us here that can say that we died on a cross and went through. He didn't even have a place to lay his head. He was mocked. He was scourged. He was cast out, if you will. He had a crown of thorns. None of us. But you know what? He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Hey, you know what? He's the epitome. He's the example of how we ought to be. Hey, Christ bestowed the ultimate kindness and love when he went to that cross. I believe the love and kindness he showed is a lesson for us in the area of kindness and forgiveness. Unfortunately, we need to be careful on how we speak to about other people and talk to others. Doesn't matter how, you know, by the way, it doesn't matter how they treat you. You know, you will not win them by retaliation. It seems like, you know what, that's what we want to do. They go ahead and speak ill of us, that we want to go ahead and turn and speak ill of them. That's not Christianity. You should turn the other cheek. You know what? We need to be good to them. We need to love them. You're not going to go ahead and win them by fighting back and speaking ill of them. We need to have a love toward each other. We ought not fight and speak ill of other people. It's tragic in our day, in the day that we live, that there's so few kind people. It's very tragic. You know, it seems like every way you look, you find plenty of mean-spirited people, won't you? You find hateful people. You'll find opinionated people. You'll find rude people. And you just find plain old mean people. You know, they'll use their tongue to go ahead and destroy and not exhort. And that ought not be about us Christians. We ought to be, we have Jesus in our heart. We ought to have, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We ought to be speaking well of one another. There are just a few people that I know of often. There are a few people that I'll meet who betray the kind spirit. We ought to be that kind of people and adopt that as a way of life. We as Christians ought to be the example of kindness and forgiveness as Christ was our example. The kind spirit ought to be a way of life in the child of God. Say that again. You know what? That'll be a way of life. You know, you being kind, you being tender, you being compassionate, you being forgiving ought to be a way of life for the child of God. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, think about it. Where would you be if God had not gone ahead and had a tender spirit on you? What if he didn't have that kind spirit of forgiveness? What if he didn't express his kindness to you? If God did not bestow his kindness and a tender heart on you, you know what the answer is? You know where we'd be headed for tonight? Hell. The Bible's very clear. That one simple verse, that one well-familiar verse that we know so well, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, be ye kind, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We'd all be heading for hell. If God did not bestow his love and kindness and tender mercy and his tender-heartedness to us, we'd all be doomed for hell tonight. But I thank God that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross to take all the price of my sin. I thank God that I don't have to die and go to hell tonight. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? If he didn't go ahead and love us, if he didn't go ahead and have tender mercies on us, if he didn't, I wasn't tender-hearted to him, towards me tonight, hey, I'd be doomed for hell. We'd all be doomed for hell tonight. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. I thank God that Jesus, he paid for my sin debt, and I don't have to go to that death and hell which was cast in the lake of fire. I thank God that Jesus, he paid the price on the cross for me. I thank God for his loving kindness. And the very one that expressed the greatest loving kindness to us, you know what? We ought to learn from that and express that to other people. That's who we ought to be. That's who we ought to be. What I'm saying this evening, just as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us, we ought to do the same for others. Let me ask you a question. Who is it this evening that you know in your life, in the world that you live in, there's strife there. There's a wall there. And you know it's not right. And by the way, I don't know who it is in your life. I don't know who it is that there's strife between you and so-and-so. That person that you're thinking of right now. I don't know who it is. Who's that one that you won't forgive because of something? Who's that one that you won't forgive because of something that you may not even remember that happened years ago? Who is that relative? Who is that friend that you had as a close friend years ago, but something happened? I don't know. Who is it that you won't go ahead and forgive? You know, the Bible teaches us right here that, you know what? God forgave us. You know, He's our example. We ought to be forgiving towards one another. In my experience in dealing and counseling with people, and many relationships have been broken simply because of unkindness and the lack of forgiveness. Hey, we just need to forgive. You know, there's just some things, if not most things, that we just need to get over this evening. If God was willing to send His only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross to forgive you for your wrongdoing and sin and to give you a chance, then why won't we, the one that accepted Christ as our Savior, be willing to go ahead and forgive others and give them a chance? Why won't we do that? As Christians, we know how we are to act. The greatest act of forgiveness was bestowed upon us on that cross. And boy, we ought never forget about that cross. I would never forget about the time that you asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you. And you know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Boy, that's the greatest, greatest thing to know here tonight. But you know what? We know how to act. But are we acting as Christians tonight? In our little world that we walk in, I'm talking about our daily life, that work, that job, that workplace, your home, wherever it is, do you act like a Christian? Or is there a cloud over your head because you won't forgive? Is there a cloud over your head because you want to be grumpy? You won't forgive. You have no tenderness. You have no compassion. Hey, what I'm saying, is there some relationships tonight that needs to be mended? Why don't you? Well, I'm waiting for so-and-so to come and fix it. Why don't you go ahead and you be the Christian and you step up and say, let's get this fixed. Why don't you? I'm going to encourage you to do that this evening. You know, there's some areas that are broken maybe tonight. One area is friendships that's been broken because one can't forgive. You know, how often, you know, we've seen this example and maybe we're living it. Maybe some are living it here tonight. My friend borrowed something and he never returned it. So-and-so borrowed something, my neighbor borrowed something, and he never returned it, or if he returned it, it was dirty and it was broken. And our relationship, bless God, will never be the same. You know, we've got this wall, we've got a cloud over our heads, we don't want anything to do with them because they borrowed it, they broke it, it never got back, came back to you. It amazes how we'll let little petty things destroy a good friendship. It's amazing what we'll let go ahead. We'll let stuff go ahead and destroy a good friendship. If your stuff that you can't take with you is so important to you, don't lend it out. Don't lend it out. I've seen people go ahead and then, because of, on the basis of friendship. And by the way, I'm not condoning stealing tonight. If you have something in your garage and you know it's not yours and you forgot about it, and I'm sure there have been times you might have forgot about it. I understand that, but I'm not condoning that tonight. But the truth of the matter is, if you're going to let some petty little, I don't want to go ahead and name any items because surely it'll be hit somebody right on the head. So I don't want to name items. I almost said it. A rake, amen? Or whatever the case, I said it, okay? Or whatever the case may be, we'll let petty little things go ahead and come between a precious relationship. You know, if it means that much to you, don't lend it out. I decided a long time ago that if I do lend something out and if I don't get it back, they probably needed it worse than I did. You know what? And I'm not going to go ahead and get fussed up. You know what? Truth is, and I'm not condoning it. If there's something in your garage, you ought to go ahead and search. Maybe I better go ahead and check. If there's something you know that you better return, go ahead and return it and return it with a sorry and return it better than you received it. Whatever. That's by the way, that's what I was taught. You know, whenever I borrowed a car, you know what? I returned it full. I returned it clean. You know, how often I've had people say, hey, you can borrow my car for this and that and so forth and so on, simply because I didn't have a car that would run good enough to go ahead and go cross country. I mean, I've had people say, you know what? You need to go to India. You need to do this. And you're coming right back. Why don't you take my vehicle? You know what? That's fine. I appreciate it. And I used it. But let me tell you something. I made sure that car was returned better than I got it. I cleaned it out. I vacuumed it out. I made sure it was full. I made sure there was an oil change. I just made sure it was taken care of. You know what? That's what you ought to do. But you know what? If there's something tonight that you haven't returned, or if you're letting stuff go ahead and get in the way over a friendship, then you need to go ahead. Maybe you ought to get over it tonight. You know what? It might be that they forgot. You ever think about that? We'll go ahead and we'll just immediately pass. Well, you know, and we'll go ahead and you'll drive down the street and you give them, you know, you give them that glare. And the truth of the matter is, they mean, well, what did I do? And it might be sincerely that they forgot about it. Like we've never forgotten anything, haven't we? You know, the truth of the matter is, we'll let friendships be destroyed over stuff. You know, if we borrow something, yes, we need to go ahead and return it. Return it better. But don't let it destroy relationships. Don't let things go ahead and get in the way of a good friendship. Otherwise, by the way, it was never friendship. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times. At all times. You know what? Listen. You know what? Before you go ahead and pass judgment, it might be good. Why don't you just go over and say, hey, listen, do you have that item, that thing, or whatever? You know, it's okay. You know, I'm just wondering if you had it. I'm just not sure. You know, whatever the case may be, it might be that you just got to go ahead and go talk to them cordially instead of passing judgment. They may have forgot about it. Might be that he got busy and he put it in a safe corner somewhere in his garage and he just simply forgot to return it. Instead of passing judgment and casting it off into the uttermost parts of the world, why don't you go talk to him about it? It's like we never, you know, often, well, we never get too busy for things, do we? You know, we get busy and we do forget, and we just, instead of pointing fingers, let's go ahead and let's handle it in a Christian manner. Friendships are broken because of stuff. Friendships, by the way, shouldn't be built around things. Should be built around love. Jesus is an example of what real friendship is. You know, sometimes we'll go ahead and determine friendship upon what others have and what they can do for us. That's not friendship. That's not friendship. You know, that's not true friendship. You know what? You shouldn't go ahead and determine a friend upon what they can give me or what kind of car they drive. And, you know, if I go ahead and rub shoulders with them, certainly they'll go ahead and maybe they'll give me a little gift or something like that. That's not friendship. You know, listen, you know what? We need to learn to forgive. Marriages often can be broken and are not happy because of unforgiveness and unkindness. You know, you can have a good spirit in the home. Say that you can have a good spirit in the home. You can love one another. You don't have to fight and yell. You don't have to have friction between each other. You can work out your differences. You know, a lot of reasons why people divorce, and I'm sorry if that's a situation tonight. I'm not on you. But oftentimes, a lot of reason why people separate and divorce is simply they're not willing to go ahead and work out their differences. And you know what? They can generally be worked out. Let me tell you, I've seen some of the most horrid things come between a man and a wife, a husband and a wife. I've seen it. And it's amazing to see the mercy and grace of God. I'm talking about some serious things come between a man and a woman, a husband and wife relationship. And you know what? I'm thinking of two instances right now, just serious things. Truth of the matter is, you know, most anybody was done. But I've seen God's hand and God's grace come into these two specific relationships I'm thinking through the years. And you know what? These marriages are stronger than ever because they were able to work it out. It was amazing. But you know, you can work out your differences. The church is likened to the bride of Christ. Just as we ought to love our Savior unconditionally, you know what? We ought to be loving our spouse unconditionally. Till death do our part. You know what, husband? You know, that wife of yours ought to be the queen of your home, the queen of your heart. You know, wife, that husband of yours ought to be the king of your home. Ought to be king and queen. Whatever happened, till death do we part. Love, cherish, and obey. The vows represent a lifelong unconditional love. The ring that you are supposed to wear, and you ought to wear it everywhere you go, because it tells me, it tells the world, you know what? I'm taken. You can't have me. But that ring represents an unending love, a circle with no division. There's no separation there. It means it's unending, and it's an abounding love. Christ, you know, it's not a love of conditions. If you do this, if you do this. No, it is an unconditional love. You know, just like Christ, he loves us unconditionally. He's a groom coming for the bride one day. He's patient with us. Boy, you know what? Just like God, Jesus Christ is patient with us. When we go ahead and blow it, he doesn't say, hey, you know what? Yeah, I'm done with you. No, he doesn't do that. He loves unconditionally. Hey, you know what? We ought to love our spouse unconditionally. We ought to love that husband. You know what? Maybe he doesn't. He's. You know what? You found out about 3 or 4 days after you were married. You know, he's not perfect, is he? You found out that, you know how it is when you're courting. Well, everything's just right. The hair is just right when you have hair. I lost some of it. Everything's just right, though. You know, the flowers are delivered to her house, and the chocolates are delivered to her house, and she's always writing, you're my man, and, you know, and so forth. And so, you know, with them courting years, boy, you could do no wrong. I mean, it was like you were perfect, amen? You know? But boy, about after, you know, after the first night, you know, okay, yeah, okay. Ooh, breath stinks. Okay, that's nothing too serious, but bless God, the second morning it won't happen that way, you know, because he and she, they're perfect. Oh, you know, honey, what happened to you? Your hair was always so prim and proper, and it's, oh. You know what I'm talking about. You found out real soon that wife that you courted before, that lovely lady, and she should still be lovely to you today. But when you're courting her, boy, she seems, you know, well groomed, everything, hair and smell just right. And the guys, you know, just perfect, and, you know, everything was perfect. But we found out that it's not always that way. You know, and you found out that maybe he does have a little bit of a temper. Maybe she does have kind of a mood once in a while. Maybe things aren't necessarily perfect, but the truth of the matter is, you know what? It's supposed to be an unconditional love. You ought to be loving one another till death do you part. You know, if you don't mean them vows, don't say it. Don't say it. Christ loved us unconditionally. You know, we'll have a tendency to go ahead and hold things over our spouse's head forever, bringing a bad spirit in the home. Your spouse, about the first time that they do something out of line, oh, that just wasn't right, and you go ahead and you'll start a fight and yell and scream, declare, it's World War III! And all the while that you do that, your children see that and say, boy, if that's what marriage is all about, I don't want any part of it. It's no wonder why we have the shacking up and all the extramarital sex and sex outside of marriage today, simply because sometimes it's laid upon us. What they see in a marriage from their mom and dad. And I'm not condoning that kind of lifestyle, but the truth of the matter is, you know, you better watch out. Little eyes are watching when you want to go ahead and fight and fume with your spouse. You know, you love that spouse. You make him queen, and you make her queen, and you make him king. Well, you just don't understand. My husband forgot to fill the car about 5 years ago. You still hold it over your head. His head. I'm never going to go ahead and forget it. And you let bitterness go ahead and get in your heart. And you say, well, honey, okay, I forgive you. But about the time something else happens. Hey, you remember 5 years ago you didn't fill up the car and I ran out of gas just outside the driveway here. You know, that's not a good spirit. My wife failed to have supper on the table at 5 o'clock 3 years ago, and she did it despite me, and I'm never going to get over it. You know, some things that we just need to get over. You know, is it really worth it? You know, by the way, you know what? Last time I looked at myself, and if my wife didn't have supper at the right time and so forth, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing okay. But the truth of the matter is, it's just things that's not worth fighting over. Hey, you know what? Instead of fighting and fuming, did you ever think that she might have got busy raising your kids? Did you ever think that she might have been about getting the groceries throughout the day? Instead of going ahead and pointing fingers at him because he might have forgot to go ahead and mow the grass, or there's a light bulb that's been out for 3 years in the home, and I've told him to go ahead and put it on his to-do list, and he doesn't even get the first job on his to-do list. Instead of going ahead and fighting over that, did you ever go ahead and take time and say, thank you, honey, for getting up early, going to work, and supplying a roof over my head and food on the table for me and the kids? Did you ever think about that? You know, boy, the spirit of the home, you can have a good spirit in the home. You know, he never tells me I love you. Do you tell him? Well, you know what? Them three words ought to be three words that are said every day, many times a day in your home. You know the number one reason why I think cell phones are in use? They ought to be. I love calling my wife throughout the day. And nowadays, it's pretty easy. I just get to go over and say, hey, honey, I love you. Is that why you came over? Yeah, I came over to say I love you. Oh, wow. But you know what? Maybe you know you're on break. Why don't you pick up that cell phone? And you know, the voice is a whole lot better than the text. All right? Take time. And I'll say, hey, honey, I just want to take a moment. I've been thinking about you. I love you. And it works the other way. Boy, you know, tell each other that you love each other. You can have a good spirit. If your marriage is broken, I'm sorry. But if you're married, boy, you ought to have a love one another. You ought to have a love for one another that you'll never let go of. Don't yell in front of the kids. Don't scream in front of the kids. You know what? Maybe, you know, there are and there will be disagreements in marriage. But you know, instead of going ahead and yelling and causing friction in front of the kids, go take it to a room somewhere and sit down. You don't even have to yell. Sit down and just talk it out. You know, again, a lot of things that we fight about is not even worth it 5 minutes after the rapture. A lot of things that we'll hold over our spouse's head is really things that can really be worked out in a loving way. I'll move right along to the next point. Family relationships are broken because of a lack of forgiveness. Some say, I'll never forgive my brother. Some say, I'll never forgive my sister, my mom, my dad, my cousin. You know, let me just stop and say this, kids. Your parents aren't perfect. You say, I know that. You know what? You're not perfect either. You're not either. And you know what? Just like your mom and dad, they're patient with you growing up, teaching you, training you, and you may break the law in the home and you get disciplined. That's biblical. That's the way it should be. But you know, you are, instead of you kind of having some hard feelings towards your mom and dad, and you know, instead of you being rebellious and so forth, you be patient with your mom and dad. Your mom and dad are not perfect, but you be patient with your mom and dad. You know, child, you ought to go ahead and just like a husband and wife, you know, on a regular basis, instead of fighting, go back to husband's wife. You know what? Why don't you go ahead and go up behind your wife sometime when she's washing the dishes and say, thank you, honey, and give her a big hug. And you know what? You kids ought to do the same with your mama and daddy. You know, you won't have them forever. They're much older than you, and they're, you know, if life has its course, they're going to pass away before you. You're not going to have them forever. And you know, you get along with your mom. Don't you be the reason for strife in your home. Don't you be the reason why you can't get along with your mom and dad. You know what? You know, they're being a mom and dad. They're teaching and they're training you. And maybe they have made some mistakes. Maybe, you know, you're trying to live right and you see some things that aren't right. You know, don't you be the one. You don't have to point it out. Instead of you pointing out and saying, oh, mom and dad, you shouldn't be doing that, you know, and you cause strife. Why don't you go to your room, get on your knees, and pray for your mom and daddy. You know, maybe it's a situation your mom and dad's not saved, and I know that can be a very tough situation. You're growing in the Lord, and you want to serve God, and there's a little bit of conflict there. I understand that, but why don't you, child, why don't you, teenager, instead of going ahead and telling them, well, you know what, you're not right, and so forth, and da-da-da-da-da, and so forth. That isn't right, a right spirit. That's no Christian kind of attitude. Why don't you go to your room, your prayer closet somewhere, get on your knees, and beg for mom and daddy's salvation? You know, maybe it is a situation where they are saved and you got to understand, you got to understand they're not perfect and so forth. But the truth of the matter is, you don't be the reason why there's a bad spirit in the home. You go ahead and you love on your mom and dad. You help your mom and dad out. You help your mom and dad out. Don't you go ahead and have friction between your mom and daddy. You know, that ought to be one of the most, beyond any boyfriend, beyond any girlfriend, beyond any friendship, beyond anybody else. You know what? Christ first, and your mama and daddy ought to be second in that relationship. You ought to have a sweet, loving relationship with your mama and daddy. Don't you sit there and, you know, they ask you to do something. You get up, you obey right away. And you know what? You see your mom and dad, they get up, they sweat for you, they work for you. They go off to jobs and they bring money home to go ahead and put clothes on your back. You be grateful. Say thank you to mom and dad. You know what? And when you see that they're busy and they're running ragged and so forth, you know what? When you get to a point in your life and you know there's some things you can do around the house, maybe you can clean the dishes, maybe you can wash some clothes, maybe you can clean the house, whatever, you step up and you help mom and dad. You know, you know what we need? We need a spirit of some young men and women. I'm talking about boys and girls and teenagers. We need a revival of some young boys and girls and teenagers having some character again and stepping up and seeing some things that need to be done and doing the job. Amen. You know, we need some teenagers. We need some young people that, boy, you know what? My mom and dad, boy, they work hard. God, I thank you for my mom and dad. I thank you for the stability that they create in my home. I thank you for them being saved and they take me to church. God, I don't want to be a stumbling block in my home. I thank you for that. Hey, you know, God, help me to help them. And you children, you see some things that you can help your mom and dad with. You see some things that you can ease up some of the stress in their life. You help clean your room. You help clean the house. You mow the yard. You do some work around the house, whatever, that'll ease up some of the pressure and stress. And you love your mom and dad. You're not going to have them forever. You tell them, you ought to tell them every time you get a chance to, every time you go by them, hey, mom, dad, I love you. Hey, thank you for going to work, daddy. Hey, mom, thank you for going to work if she goes off to work somewhere. Thank you, mom, for washing my clothes. Thank you for going shopping. Thank you for cooking my meals. Hey, be thankful again. Get back to being thankful for your mama and daddy. I thank God that right now I have a mom and dad that's still alive. I thank God that I can go ahead and call them. Say, mama, I love you. Daddy, I love you. Hey, you know, you're not going to have your mom and dad forever. You be thankful for your mom and dad. Family relationships. You know, if you're not careful, I've seen sons and daughters divorce their parents. How foolish that is. That is utter foolishness. Divorcing mom and dad. That is the most foolish statement I've ever heard in my life. And the truth of the matter is that's not right. That's so anti-God and so forth. And it's being promoted in the world today. Hey, you know what? Christian young people, you thank God for mom and dad. And don't you let a spirit come into your home with a cloud over your head causing strife in your home. Don't you let some little incident say, well, you know, my mom and dad, you know, don't you grow up at once you're 18, 19, 20 years old and you start yapping about, don't you ever yap about your mom and dad around me. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. You know, you be thankful for your mom and dad. Don't you let things go ahead and break up that precious relationship that a child and a parent ought to have. I ought to get to the next point. Church relationships are broken because of unforgiveness. He looked at me. You know, let me just say this. Church of Jerusalem, that was a loving church. You study it out. You know, they were a unified church. And from the very get-go, Acts chapter 2, they're in one accord. You know, and I strive for that. You know, more than anything else, I strive for a church that's in one accord. You know, church relationships are broken simply because we won't forgive. He or she looked at me funny in the service. Well, you're not supposed to be looking at each other in the service anyways. Should be looking straight ahead. That's what I was taught to do, amen? He failed to shake my hand. Hey, do you ever think that you maybe should have gone to extend your hand to them? They borrowed my car and returned it empty and dirty. And, you know, I'm talking about church relationships now. And, you know, you ought to just praise God that you cut your car back. Amen. You know, we'll go ahead and we'll let the pettiest little things go ahead. And once you walk through the door, you know, you maybe, and I've seen this happen. I've seen this. seen this happen. You sit there in the car, okay, so-and-so's going to come, going to let them get in first because, you know, I don't want to go ahead and walk up the stairs at the same time. I want to walk through the doors at the same time, and they'll come in first, and then you come in after. You sit, okay, they sit over here, and you want to get just as far as you can away from them because of something that happened, because they failed to shake your hand, or they may have wronged you in some way. And again, I'm not praising that. But the truth of the matter is there's just some things, I said it earlier, there's just some things we need to learn to get over. You know, we need to be Christians again. You sit on opposite sides, not shake their hands, cause discord amongst the brethren. Well, that's real Christianity, isn't it? That's exactly what I want my children, my teenagers at Faith Baptist Church to see. Two Christians, supposed Christians, not getting along, causing discord. They won't even look at each other. They won't even smile at each other because of whatever. Because of whatever. I don't know what it is. Sometimes it's, I've heard it. I've heard just about everything through the years in the ministry, and it surprises me. Huh? You mean, really? Some of the most petty, foolish things. Boy, that's living up to be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God as Christ's sake hath forgiven you, isn't it? You know, the church of Jerusalem had a testimony of loving one another. They had a testimony of helping one another. Well, that's who we should be. That's exactly who we should be. You know, maybe there's a brother here tonight, sister here tonight, a little cross with one another. According to my Bible and your Bible that you're holding in your lap, you know the right thing to do is go to that brother or that sister. Maybe bring them to an altar and talk it out and pray it out. And don't let it divide your friendship, your relationship that you ought to have. There was unity in the Church of Jerusalem. I stand here today telling you, you know, as your pastor, I love you, and I hate to see anything go ahead and cause division between you and somebody else. It ought not be. We ought to have a spirit of unity. We ought to have a spirit of encouraging one another. We ought to have a spirit of lending a hand. We ought to have a spirit of not determining our friendship by what we have and don't have. But we ought to take Ephesians 4:32 to heart. And study up a little bit on the church of Jerusalem a little bit. See how they behaved. And see if our behavior matches up with them, the Bible. We ought to take verses like Ephesians 4:32 and practice it. Practice a spirit of kindness amongst one another, forgiving one another. Maybe you got a relationship tonight that's broken. Over what? Over what? Is it? And think about it. Whatever it is it worth it? Is it worth it? I heard Brother Robles say in his class this morning, he likes to be liked. I like to be liked. I like people to like me, amen. You know, I dead sure, you know what? When I know, even through the years, I've learned this from some great men of God, if I know that there's a little strife, man, I like to deal with it, right? Let's deal with it. Get over it, deal with it, and move on. That's just the way I like it. You know, I hate waiting. I'm just the kind of guy, let's do it, you know, man. There's nothing worse, and, you know, very seldom did this happen as a kid, but once in a while I had to be sent to my room. Every so often I'd do something that wasn't, kind of broke the law of the home, and my mom would say, go to your room, and I knew what that meant. And I was praying that mom would come later on, but it was always dad. But you know what, the truth of the matter is, dad was not always there at the time. But, you know, I was the kind of guy, let me have the punishment now. Dad, whoever, come up, just whoop me one. Let's get it done and get it over and move on. You know, by the way, that's how it is. That's how I am in just about every area of my life when it comes to if there's a little discord or whatever. I like to be able to mend fences. I like to do it right away and get it over with so we can move on in spirit of unity. I don't know about you, but is there some relationship in your life that's broken this evening? Looking over, studying this church a little bit. By the way, they weren't a perfect church in Acts. We aren't either. No church that is perfect. When you do find the perfect church, you may as well get out of it because it won't be perfect anymore. Amen? There'll be flaws. It's run by human beings. It's the way it is. God leaves a pastor to go ahead and pastor each individual church, independent Baptist church, and so forth. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? We need to try a little kindness. Joe, if you're wondering what the title of my message is, that's what it is. I don't think I mentioned it earlier, but try a little kindness. It works. It really does work. I don't know if you've got some, maybe there's marital problems here. I don't know. Maybe there's some issues between a husband and wife. Well, you know what? This most sweetest relationship, humanly speaking, is that husband-wife relationship. Boy, your wife ought to be your best friend. That husband of yours ought to be your best friend. You ought to be able to sit down and confide in one another. You ought to be able to just talk freely with one another. You ought to be able to communicate freely with one another. But maybe there's a little bit of breakdown there. Maybe there's some things you need to hash out between your spouse. Maybe there's some issue in the church. I don't know what it is, but you do. Maybe someone's not coming to church, or maybe someone's disenchanted with church because of an attitude that you have. I don't know. Maybe someone's kind of flailing in their Christianity because of an attitude that you have. I don't know what it is. The truth that, you know, we ought not live a kind of life that if that's what Christianity is all about because of our mean-spirited attitude, that's what Christianity is all about, I don't want anything to do with it. But we ought to live a kind of Christian life that say, man, I want what they have. Because we you know what? We hold the dearest person ever, that's Jesus Christ, in our hearts. Boy, and that, you know, that kind of spirit, what Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit ought to be just coming out of us, and people ought to say, man, I want that kind of love. I want that kind of joy. I want that kind of peace. I want that kind of long-suffering. I want that kind of fruit of the Spirit that they have. I want that. But oftentimes, we'll have this cloud, we'll have this mean-spirited Christianity, if there's such a thing. I guess there is, because it can happen. And I wonder how many lost people or some co-worker or someone knows, oh, you go to church on Sunday, but if that's the kind of life you live, if that's the kind of attitude that Christian, I don't want a piece of it. That ought not be said. Is there some relationships that's broken tonight you need to deal with? Why don't you go ahead and deal with it? Maybe that person's not here tonight. Why don't you, I challenge you, go home, get on that phone, say, hey, we need to meet and we need to talk. Boy, meeting and talking is the best way if you can. If they're far, far away in some distant state, some distant land, you get on that phone and say, you know what? I'm getting right with you. And maybe it never got right with them. Maybe you'll never, but you know what? You did the right thing anyways by trying to make it right. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Boy, that's a loaded verse. That's really a wonderful verse. May I thank God that even as God, for Christ's sake, he forgave me. Boy, I thank God he was tender-hearted to me. I thank God he was kind-hearted to me, that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross, and I'm forgiven tonight. Maybe here tonight you don't know Jesus. You don't know if you were to die tonight, you'd go to heaven. You know, the greatest relationship of all is that relationship with Jesus Christ. You know what? You get that relationship with, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know what? A lot of your other relationships will fall in line, I promise you. That's where it starts. Maybe here tonight you don't know Jesus as Savior. But I challenge you, you ought to go ahead and jump in and become a child of God tonight. The greatest life of all is being a child of God. I wouldn't trade it for the world. And if you're like that tonight, boy, I challenge you at the invitation, you ought to come forward and shake my hand and say, preacher, I want to be saved. We'll gladly have somebody show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Our Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. We thank you for tonight, God. We thank you for, well,